Welcome back. You're listening to Morning Ireland at 8:15, and we're joined now from his home in the constituency of Dublin West by the Minister for Tourism, Transport and Sport, Leo Varadkar. Minister, good morning.
Good morning.
And obviously we'll have to begin with these remarks by Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor, during a press conference at the European Summit in Brussels last night. Let's listen to what she had to say about the Anglo Tapes revelations as translated by an interpreter.
Die ihr Geld verdienen.
It's hard to digest for those who go to work every day. It is damaging democracy, social market economy and everything we strive for.
Und deshalb ist das auch für uns eine unglaubliche Herausforderung, weil zu die
That's why it's an incredible challenge for us to convince people who get up every morning to do their work, who always pay taxes, who even show solidarity with others who are weaker. It is damaging. This is why I regard this with contempt.
Angela Merkel speaking in Brussels last night. Leo Varadkar, would you add or subtract anything from what Angela Merkel had to say?
Well, I think I largely agree with her comments there. I think they're very, very prescient. The tapes are very damaging. There's no doubt about that. An awful lot has been done in the last 2 years to restore Ireland's reputation, whether it's the sacrifices that Irish people have made or the government's success with the EU presidency or all the reforms that we've implemented in the last couple of years. And what these tapes really have done is reminded the world of the culture and the banking system that existed under the last Fianna Fáil government. And it's given us a real reminder of all that. And I think that's been very difficult for people.
What are you hearing, apart from the obvious party political point that you've made, but what are you hearing from your constituents, from people you meet, about what needs to happen and whether it's likely to happen?
Well, I suppose there's a few things. I don't think that people are all that surprised about the contents of the tapes. Most people have suspected for a very long time that the bankers in Anglo-Irish Bank deceived the regulator and fooled the government of the time. But I think what's really been gut-wrenching and has churned stomachs has been the tone of the tapes, the arrogance, the avarice, and just the absolute disregard for the public. And what people are saying to me is that, first of all, they want there to be prosecutions. They're frustrated that they haven't happened so far. And I do my best to explain that three people have been charged, and we do expect there to be trials next year. But also people understand that prosecutions on their own won't be enough, because you can only prosecute people who committed a crime. And a lot of the people who contributed to the disaster and the crash that affected Ireland may not have been criminals, but they were incompetent, they were fools, they didn't do their jobs properly, and that's why people want a public inquiry. They want an inquiry so that these people are exposed and held to account, and also so that we can learn and understand better what happened and how it happened, so that, you know, those mistakes aren't repeated again. And that's the most important thing for future generations, is that we actually properly learn from what happened in Ireland between 2001 and 2008, so that it never happens again.
Doesn't the content quite favourable to the banks of the code for people with mortgage arrears, the latest version of it which emerged this week, show, as many people assert, that the banks are still ahead of the rest of us? They're still not exactly pushing everybody else around, but they're getting their way. They're an area which everyone, including government, are reluctant for whatever reason to be told, look, you've got to do something about this, and you've got to do it now.
No, I don't accept that at all. The first thing and the first principle of government policy is to make sure that people can stay in their homes. And that's why there have been so few repossessions to date, even though we've had a much more severe recession than the United Kingdom, for example. We've only maybe a tenth the number of repossessions. But up till now, that's been achieved through forbearance, which is an extend and pretend policy, if you like, and that can't go on forever. So what we're requiring the banks to do, not just in this code, but just in terms of general government policy, is to face up and realise the losses and to cut deals with mortgage holders who can't pay, but also pursue those who won't pay, and that's an issue there as well.
Face up to losses, it hasn't happened yet.
It has a bit. There have been 80,000 mortgages restructured so far, and 76% of those restructured mortgages are performing. But what we said to the banks is, by the end of this year, 50% of non-performing mortgages need to be restructured. But there's another side to this too, and I think it's a false premise to suggest that somehow there's a conflict here between the banks on one side and mortgage holders on the other. You know, we need to bear in mind that there are 120,000 mortgages are so in distress, but there are 600,000 people paying their mortgages and struggling to do so and making sacrifices to do so, and they can't be expected to pay their neighbour's mortgage either. And we also have to bear in mind that all of us as taxpayers are now the owners of the banks. So, you know, any policy has to balance those facts as well, because as owners of the banks, ultimately we could be liable for any losses realised.
Tom, now, we're back in recession. For last year, the end of, and the beginning of this year, Tom Healy of the Nevin Institute was telling us earlier, making a point that I'm sure will be made many times between now and Budget Day. Something will have to be done about this. Some of that prom note, at least some of the promissory note gain, needs to be spent. Otherwise, things will keep going on getting worse and worse. Is that a point or a view you're sympathetic to, whatever about the details?
Well, you know, the road figures are bad. There's no point in pretending otherwise. We've had some good economic stats in the last little while. Very good tourism numbers. 20,000 more people at work than this time last year. But these figures are bad, and they reflect both a fall in exports due to recessions elsewhere, but also a lack of domestic demand in Ireland. And, you know, the budget measures, like the property tax, for example, contribute to that. I think it's still June. The budget isn't done until October. We'll have more indications before October. And, you know, we've a roughly 60 billion budget. If taxes come in 1% behind target and spending comes in 1% over target, that billion is gone. However, if things are a little bit better and taxes come in ahead of target and spending behind target, then we've more than a billion in flexibility. So it's really too soon, I think, to make those decisions.
The road traffic bill, which you've published yesterday, which is going to bring things like drugs tests in, higher penalty points for speeding and using your mobile phone. How much of a difference do you think it's going to make? And I suppose the key question is, when is this going to be the law applied on the roads?
Well, the key thing really is to keep up momentum. 2012 was the safest year on Irish roads since records began. We're now the fifth safest country in the European Union. But what we want is for Ireland to become the safest country in Europe. And this is really the next step in that. The bill will be published today by the Bill's office, and I'd expect to have it through the Dáil and Shannon before the end of the year and be able to commence it then.
All right, let's turn it. It's a good news day for your constituency, albeit a little delayed. This is the opening of the new Hansfield railway station on the rail line to Dunboyne, near Blanchardstown. As I say, the station was built 3 years ago. It's opening today. We'll come on to that in a moment. But Philip Brommel, RT's reporter, is actually at Hansfield station. Philip, busy this morning?
Well, Hansfield is very big. It's very shiny. But so far this morning, it's very empty. We've had almost as many trains as passengers since the first one arrived at 6:59. So while this is a very impressive building and a very impressive complex, it just hasn't been very busy. Now, of course, there is an official opening later this morning, which I understand the minister is attending. So I'm sure by mid-morning, it will be much busier than it is now.
All right, Philip, thank you very much. Minister, this was finished 3 years ago, but there was no road leading to it. What? Why did it take 3 years to build the road?
Yeah, that's right. It's been a bumpy road and a bit of a fiasco, really. The train station was built by the developers of that area. And after the economy crashed, the developers went into financial difficulty. They were supposed to build the road, but obviously because they failed financially, they weren't able to do so. So the government had to intervene. So I got the council together with the National Transport Authority and Irish Rail, and we had to negotiate with receivers buy the land, which was in different parcels, change the development plan for the area to facilitate the station or the car park and the train being built in the way that it is, and then had to find some public money to do it. So it's been just another example of cleaning up the mess that that the country is in. It is an area, of course, that was built during the boom. There's a lot of people there who paid over the odds for their houses and were looking at effectively a ghost station for the last couple of years.
When you were in power, I think.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, if it had been as simple as signing a cheque or signing an order to open it, I would have done so 2 years ago, but it wasn't. Like I say, the land was in different parcels, there were receivers involved, courts, you name
just
it.
By the way, the in the foreseeable future, this is on the rail line to Navan, potentially. Is that at all likely anytime soon?
I think in due course the line will be extended to Navan.
I know, apart from due course.
Look, the reality is that transport is struggling financially at the moment. It's costing us a lot to subsidise the existing lines. We're not in a position to build new ones, but we'll look at it again in 2015.
I see your constituency colleague Joan Burton will be there as well, as you'd expect. Is this going to be a joint cutting of the ribbon, or how's this going to work?
Yeah, I expect so. Joan and I have different views on different things, but we work very closely locally and in the interests of our constituents. So I imagine there'll be two pairs of scissors brought out for the occasion.
All right, Minister, thank you very much. Leo Varadkar. It's 24, 25 minutes past 8.